Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Welcome to the podcast. It is 10:30 in the morning. I don't know if we talked about this, but we're slightly changing our recording schedule because of me and my obnoxious going to grad school. So we're recording Saturday mornings and we're releasing Saturday afternoons. And that's how it's going to be, at least for this quarter.
Yeah.
We just adjust it based on my very diva lifestyle.
That's okay. Now I get to take a second dance class on Wednesdays again.
Well, excellent. I'm so happy this worked out for you.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm slightly hungover and very tired. Erin had to trudge through millions of inches of snow.
It's a nightmare outside.
Really, honestly, we probably should have Google hung out.
It wasn't until I was literally in the lift on the road that I was like, yeah, we should not have done this.
Well, at least we get to go to Planet Fitness and get swole.
Yes, fitness.
Yes, that is our plan, is to record, work out, and then I'm going to edit and post. So, you know what? Now we have a workout. I have a workout buddy, and Erin can hold me accountable. I did when you asked me this morning to say, when you were like, well, if you want to work out, I'll come. If you don't, let's just Google Hangout. And that's why it took me like 10 minutes to respond.
Oh, I know.
Literally in bed being like,
I know. I was like,
she gave me a choice. The point of recording in the morning is there is no choice. And I made Nick decide. I was like, do you want to go to Planet today? And he was like, affirmative. And I was like, damn it.
Yeah, we're working together against you.
Yeah.
I'd already packed my gym bag and was like, well, if you say no, that you just want to do a remote hangout, I'm just literally going to leave immediately after we're done and go to my Planet Fitness. So I was like, prepared either way.
Also, Planet Fitness, not a scam. Great.
Great. So good.
It's really great.
I fucking love Planet Fitness. It's the best. I wish that there, I mean, obviously for $10 a month, if you have the basic one like I do, I don't even have the black card. Like, obviously there are things about it that I wish were different, but like, just for like a cheap gym that I want to go to, like for an hour after work twice a week, it's fucking perfect.
And for us,
we are not sponsored by Planet Fitness.
No, we're not. If you'd like to sponsor us. But we have the black cards because Nick travels so much that it makes sense for him to have a black card, and then, like, it just is convenient. So, like, when we went to Michigan, we worked out at Planet or whatever. I find myself working out on our family vacations because it's a good way to be like, we're leaving, bye! Goodbye!
Mm-hmm. That's why I normally bring a swimsuit, and I'm like, I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna go swimming, because then I can be alone for 30 minutes.
Yes, it's nice.
It's fucking great.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Did I tell you that I almost had my nose broken a couple days ago?
No.
Okay. I think
by another human?
Sort of. It was because a dude cut me off getting off of the subway, but I legit don't think he saw me. I think it was honestly an accident. So
I don't know how. You are quite the eyesore when you go out into public.
I know. I was
not because of your face, but because of the dress choices you make.
I have like a bright purple floor-length coat. Like, yeah, exactly. I was wearing that big black one with the fur that I wore over here. Yes. So like dark enough that I can see how at night he probably couldn't see me, but that's not the point. So at the Kedzie stop, it's a ground stop where the guardrails come down outside of the sidewalk.
Right.
And you have to funnel out in like a single file line because of the way that the door and the entryway are set up. And so the alarms went off that the guardrails were coming down, but it was a train of people coming off from like 5 o'clock traffic. So there were a ton of people. And so everyone was like, we can't all be here. Like, this space isn't big enough. And so people were trying to like hurry out before the guardrails actually came down. And the guy, I was like right before it. I was out of the door in the courtyard about to walk past the guardrail coming down. And the guy that was like just slightly ahead of me and to the left, that's why I don't think that he actually saw me. He was closer to the guardrail as it was coming down. And so he cut me off. And so I had to stop. And so because I stopped, it came down directly on the bridge of my nose, and I crumpled like paper. The dude behind me caught me and freaked out, was like, oh my fucking God, and like pushed me off the tracks basically, and I like dropped my wallet, and he went back and got it for me. My Like, my eyes immediately, like, exploded with water.
Right.
But I couldn't tell if it was blood, because all I could feel was hot liquid on my face.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fuck, oh, no. And, like, my whole face was numb. And I, the reason I got off at Kenzie's, because I wanted to go to the liquor store. And so I, like, the guy gave me my wallet back. He's like, are you okay? Do you need help? And I was like, no, I think I'm fine. So I walk into the liquor store, and the guy behind the counter gives me this look, like, oh, fuck. So that made me think my nose was broken. Like, I'm covered in fucking blood. So I'm, like, wiping my face off, and it's just water. It's right. All coming from my eyes. And I was like, oh, I just probably look insane. I have this big ass coat and backpack on, and I'm like touching
my fur trim.
Right. And I'm like touching my face, and like it was obviously very red. It clearly something had happened. But it like it didn't break, thank God. The cartilage was like a little loose. I was like, oh, I almost broke my fucking nose.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to set it. It wasn't broken, but I could like feel that the you know like
yeah.
You can feel cartilage move when it's not exactly intact. So I had to like reset my nose, but it didn't bleed, and like it swelled up. It's still a little swollen. I like you can't really tell because I wear big glasses, so
right.
it like obscures it, but
good
it's definitely
your glasses didn't break.
Yeah, it was like the brim of my hat and my glasses, the guardrail hit right on top of it, and so like everything came down onto my nose at once, and so
yeah.
I think it was just all of it together kept it all from breaking somehow. It was like the shock absorbed it. Fucking hurt really bad. Really, really bad. It's been sore since then.
I love that, like, you still went and got alcohol. You were like, well, I need it now.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. If my nose is broken, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So, yeah, and like, I mean, I was right there. I was like, I can either walk home and not see, or I can like go into this liquor store and like clean my face off at least. It was like right there. Yeah, and I keep making the mistake of like wiping my nose because it's cold outside, and I'm like, oh, fuck, don't touch your goddamn face.
Ow.
So I'm, like, still recovering from that. But so if I, like, abruptly I'm like, ah, it's probably because I touched my nose and didn't think about it. Yeah, almost broke my fucking nose.
That is nuts.
Yeah, and I almost wish the dude had been an asshole so I could have just yelled at him and been, like, over it. But, like, I legit don't even think he saw that he cut me off. I don't think he even saw it come down on me. He was just gone. It was like,
yeah.
Well, this was just wrong place, wrong time, I guess.
That sucks.
And, like, I got really lucky someone was behind me and, like, caught me. Like,
yeah.
Michael and I were talking about that. Like, if I had been the last person coming out and had just collapsed, like, I would have just been on the tracks, like, chilling. Yeah.
Yikes.
So, other than that, things have been fine.
Yikes.
Yeah. How are you? How's grad school and your a million things?
You know, time consuming. Grad school so far is going fine. One of my classes I love. At first, the first like hour of the class, I was like, I don't know about this lady. She has like a weird energy that I am not clicking with. But then we had our break, and then she actually started. Because, you know, first hour of class in any semester is like going over the syllabus
yeah,
and like
bullshit.
Whatever. But once she actually started teaching, I was like, oh, I like her a lot. And then the stuff that she's assigned, the readings are fucking really fascinating. It's like intro to digital communication. I'm taking core classes just because I want to get them out of the way.
Yeah.
And they're like, the readings are so fascinating, so good. I learned about the Republic of Letters, which I've never heard about. Have you heard about it?
I've heard about it, but I don't really
it's
know anything about
so
it.
It's fucking so cool. And I'm like, insane that people did this. I mean, it makes sense. Like, how else did, like, academic thought, like, transverse the world or whatever, but it's like this weird secret society of like people who wanted to share their ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's cool. I also read this Cyborg Manifesto, which was the hardest thing I've ever read. And that was cool. And she also, I had this like really nice moment. So I got a graduate assistantship. I'm very excited about it. Mm-hmm. But it's for next quarter, and I'm working with a professor that I've had before, and I'm essentially like helping her do research, and then like the goal is to, like, maybe write a paper and, like, get it published, but I'm just essentially helping her do research. Like, I don't know totally what we're doing yet because it's not until next semester. And she, the teacher that I have now, made, like, a joke. She was like, is anybody going to do thesis for their final? Because the way my program works, you can do, like, because it's a multimedia program.
Right.
It's digital communication and media arts. Like, I'm in the communication track, but you can kind of do whatever. Like, I could put together, originally I thought I was going to do, like, a big documentary-style podcast type thing. But people do, like, marketing campaigns. This one guy did this really cool project where he animated short videos of interviews he did with his fellow, like, furry community to,
oh,
like,
cool.
try and, like, there were, like, 2-minute videos, like, addressing, like, myths and stuff about the furry community. And then he animated it and animated it in the way that, like,
their personas.
Yeah.
Cool. I was trying to, like, think of that's a word. Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So you can kind of do whatever.
Yeah.
But you can also write a thesis paper. And until I started...
That's my jam. I love it when it's like, you can do a million other things. And I'm like, that's so great. Everyone's so creative. Oh, I can write a 20-page paper. I'm in.
But I'm really getting into the academia side of it. So I'm like, well, I'm not totally sure if I want to get a PhD or not. But in case I do, I should do thesis.
Right. That's why I did a thesis too.
But also, even if I don't, I kind of like weirdly want the experience. Because that feels to me... feels like what you do in grad school, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do like a bunch of research and then have like a paper that you could publish, right? Like that's the point. And so she was asking kind of as a joke and I was like, no, I want to do thesis. And she was like, oh, okay. and then she heard me talking to a friend in my class about how I got the assistantship and I'm really excited. And then she like kind of talked to me after class and was like, so you're one of the assistants for next quarter. And I was like, yeah, I am. I'm really excited about it, you know. I didn't get into this program thinking that I'd like academia, but I do. So, like, I think this is a good, like, dip my toe in the water to see if I actually do or if I just, like, really like the subject matter that I happen to be studying. She was like, that's really great. And then she just offered for me to teach one of her, like, undergrad classes. She was like...
What?
She was like, if you ever want to come in and do, like, just teach one of my classes. Not, like, the whole quarter, obviously, because I'm not her teaching assistant. But she was like, if you ever want to lead a discussion or whatever. And I was
shit.
I even said to her, I was like... You've never even read anything that I've written. You don't know anything about me. She was like, yes, but you come, like, highly recommended, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, oh, I do? This is a nice feeling.
Isn't
These
that
are
great?
Really nice feelings. Also, now I'm terrified because I have a lot of pressure in your class all of a sudden. A moment ago, you didn't know who I was. And now you're like, oh, I've heard about you. You're supposed to be great. And I'm like, damn it. But I got 100% on the first assignment, so.
All right. That's great.
Apparently, I'm great.
Now you'll have the experience, too. When I... do you remember it was my second to last quarter at DePaul, and I had to write that paper, my thesis paper, and I got to the end, and I realized that my professor had not read any of it. Like, now you'll have the experience of getting all the way through yours, and then get to the end and think, what if she had not read any of this?
Right.
And it just passed me. Like... I think you'll understand what that feeling is like a little bit more. Like,
well, I mean, but she's going to read my stuff.
That's what I mean. Like, imagine having done all that work anticipating that she's going to give you this feedback and then...
I mean, that would, like, it would, like, break your heart, right? Like,
yeah, I was so upset about it. Like...
I want to read your paper. I'll peer review your paper.
All right, I'll send it to you. One of our
probably
listeners...
Probably not this quarter, but, like, eventually.
No, eventually, yeah.
I will eventually peer review your paper.
Yeah, the only other person who's read it is actually a listener of the show. His Twitter's Rockford Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, he's into detective fiction, and part of it, of my thesis, is about queer lesbian detective fiction and how it, like, influences culture, and it's, like, part of the cyclical feedback. The thesis of the paper is about how when you see representations of yourself in media, it encourages positive, like, community around those aspects, and it becomes a feedback loop.
Right.
But he asked if he could read my paper, and I sent it to him and was like, yeah, I had no feedback on this, so I'd like have no idea if it's good or not. He was like, it's good, it's just like surface because it's only a like beginning thesis basically.
Right.
Yeah, you'll have to read it someday. I was really proud of it, and then after that I was like, oh,
that's so heartbreaking,
not even worth reading, damn. But I got an A on it. That's the worst thing.
That's
is
the
it's
worst
like
part.
I wish that she had just not giving me such a good grade, because it's almost like now there's that pressure of like,
right,
oh, fuck, damn it.
One of my other friends in the program kind of called me on my bullshit this week, where I was like really stressed in my other class. My other class is Foundations of Digital Media, which is like actually touching cameras and actually working with the sound equipment and stuff.
Yeah.
And I, fun fact, day one, I hate photography.
Really?
I really hate it.
I'm really
I hate it so
that.
Much. I mean, who knows? I hated this assignment. I struggled. I don't like to struggle, obviously.
Okay. That makes sense.
I might like it eventually.
It didn't come naturally to you immediately, and so you don't like
so
it.
So I hate it.
Okay. Got
yes.
it. Got it. Got
Correct.
It.
But we had to turn in this thing, and I was like, I mean, it was a pass-fail thing. It was basically a participation thing in the class. It was like a, just like an in-class assignment where you're like just testing shit out.
Yeah.
And I was so...
It's to wash out people who don't want to do the work.
I was so mad because I struggled so hard. And my friend of the program was like, it can't be that bad. You know that you grade yourself on like a terrible curve, right? And I was like, first of all, yes. Second of all, I literally took pictures of trash cans as a metaphor of how bad I am at this. And he was like, well, at least you had a theme. I literally was like, I don't know, let's take pictures of these trash cans because these pictures are trash.
That is more artistic vision than most people have when they hold a camera, to be honest. So. Your friend was not wrong.
Other than school, I'm adjusting to my new life as a kitchen manager. Mm-hmm. The schedule is great in that I'm done early and it goes by so fast because I have so much to do. Uh-huh. I am getting better at it, but my body is adjusting to being on my feet and like running around for like 7.5 to 8 hours.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I'm just like finding myself like exhausted.
Oh, that's rough.
We went out for our 6-year anniversary and Nick's birthday last night.
Congratulations.
To a really good restaurant called Pacific Standard Time, which is a weird name for a restaurant.
Yes, it was. Is it like a seafood restaurant?
It's like supposed to be California inspired.
I mean, I assumed. Yeah. That's like why I thought seafood.
Yeah, they have a lot of seafood. They have other stuff too, but it was, the decor is amazing. It's like 1960s, 70s, like mod, ooh, but like really bright. Like you get the California, like, you know, very Palm Springy, I guess, but not like kitschy Palm Springy, but more like the like fancy architecture. And then just like really fucking fresh, delicious food.
Cool.
We had like a fish that was like battered in like tempura with like a remoulade sauce. It was so good. Oh, so good.
Nice.
Anyway, so yeah, 6-year anniversary. Woo, whatever. I suppose it's 15 minutes in. We should talk about wrestling.
We could talk much longer about other things.
Well, we'll just turn into the Heels in Heels where we don't talk about wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have the right idea, to be honest.
I feel like we should talk a little bit about AEW.
Yes, we should.
Because last time we talked about it, we were like, whatever.
Yeah, and now there's like more.
I still think it's too early to like stan AEW. Like,
absolutely.
Literally still nothing has happened.
Right, exactly.
Just, like, ripples in the water.
Yeah, it's just like a series of press conference and responses to questions from the press conference so far. Like,
big deal that Jericho signed.
Yeah, huge deal. Like, that's.
I love Jericho. I do think he's the GOAT. I am starting to get a little annoyed by how great he thinks he is. I mean, he's not wrong, right? So it's, like, hard to be mad at him because he's not wrong.
Right.
But also, like, we get it. You're great.
Well, I also feel like
so this stop wearing hats.
Oh, my God, stop wearing hats. Also, condition your fucking hair. Like, good Lord, you should know better at this point. Or, like, cut it. There's a reason you used to cut it. Whatever. We're not here to talk shade on Jericho's dad look. Who cares? He can be a Fedora the Explorer all he wants.
Yeah, he's like a million years old and still is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. That's whatever. The fact that he looks like he's inevitably marching towards a middle-aged divorce, regardless, I'm very excited for him. I don't think he actually is. That's why it's weird. Like, his family seems very happy, and yet here he is, looking
and
a mess.
Here he is.
Looking
his
a mess.
His wrestle aesthetic.
Yeah, you're right. He's always been looking a mess. That's true. Yeah, it's a big deal that he signed. It feels too, like, I understand that Cody's like, fuck you forever, Vince. And, like, this is kind of, we've been saying this since he left WWE. Like, Vince fucked up. He fucked up super bad letting him go.
I feel like if Vince gave Cody his name, Cody wouldn't
be. This never would have happened.
I feel like it still would have happened, but it wouldn't have had so much like venom in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Vince not giving Cody his name, the kind of fucked Vince.
Absolutely. 100%.
Like, I do still think all of this would have happened, but like, again, I don't think it would have the venom in it.
I don't think it would have happened as quickly and aggressively. I think you're right that it would have eventually come to this, especially because the Bucks were getting...
and like other people are involved. It's not just Cody.
Right, exactly. And I was going to say too, like that, I think that also works with the fact that Vince told Jericho no about using NXT people on the Jericho cruise, and it was just those two ships passing in the night happened to link up and were like, you know what? Fuck Vince. Like, truly and sincerely, like, for a long time, Jericho was like, we still have a good relationship. Everything is fine.
They scrubbed him from the website. They put him in,
immediately.
Like, they took him from the beginning package.
Yep, immediately. Like, they're so pissed.
Funny. All of his merch is on sale.
Yep. And like, they fucked up. Vince fucked up. He should have just he didn't even ask him for like big name traveling NXT people. He literally asked him for developmental people who didn't have camera time yet. And Vince said no. And like, you fucked up. But like, you really did fuck up. And it's funny that he waited until after the Jericho cruise was over too to be like, oh, by the way, deuces forever. Like, it really is a perfect storm that the two of these guys ended up working for this company together, that they're building from scratch. Like, they're the right guys to be doing this.
Yeah. I also am very excited about Pac.
Me too. Also, that's a big deal. Another fuck you. Another, like, I understand their company isn't fuck you WWE, but it like, also
there
is,
there are
like,
fuck you moments.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, that's a big fuck you moment.
Last night at dinner, Nick was talking about Neville, and I was like, Nick, we have to respect him. We call him Pac now. It is the choice that he has made, and it is his name, and we no longer call him Neville. And Nick was like, okay, whatever.
And I was, we addressed it from Adrian Neville to Neville, and now we can go back to Pac. Everything is fine.
It is the name he wants to be called.
Uh-huh. It's fine. It's in all capital letters.
It's a bad name, but, you know, whatever. I love that he showed up to the press conference just in wrestle trunks. Like the idea that he never actually puts on clothes anymore because he is just wrestling is hilarious.
I love it. I think it's
like a great choice.
I love it. I think it's so good.
Truly a great choice. Who knows? Like, remain to be seen. But like the fact that they're talking about like equal pay for the women, Britt Baker signed, Penelope Ford is signed. Yes, I mean, they obviously still only have three women. They need more women. Yeah. They need more people in general still.
100%.
This was like the first rollout. And like, Britt Baker DMD, that's exciting.
Yes, I like too that
they... I also really like Penelope Ford.
I do too. I think she's really good. And apparently she and Joey Janela are no longer like a couple and still signed at like to work together, which
and
I think
JF,
is like a good
Mini
sign.
Colt.
So good.
Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky. Like, this is exciting. Like, that's all the people that you watch ROH for. Like,
exactly.
Like, except for Dalton, I guess. But, like...
Dalton's contract is coming up, too. And has been... What? WWE has been aggressively trying to sign him. I feel like if Dalton goes anywhere, it'll be to WWE.
I mean, I would like Dalton to go anywhere that I can watch it, because I just don't watch ROH anymore, because I just don't give a shit.
It's garbage. I, like, don't want
to... I mean, I don't know if it's garbage, because, again, I'm not watching it, but, like, the blatant disrespect of the women is just, like, too much for me. And also,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's garbage.
Don't get me wrong, like, I'm sure AEW will also just be, like, a spot fest, but, like, I don't need to watch ROH, because, like, I get it, and also the way that they treat their women, and the way that they... pretend like it's a big deal makes me sick.
Yeah, that's my biggest reservation with AEW so far, is that I'm worried it's going to wind up like All In, where they're like, we're absolutely including the women. Here's one match for all four of you. Yeah. And Jordynne Grace. Like, that's...
At least Jordynne Grace had, like, a baller, like...
Right, exactly. You know. But she was also, like, the last person announced for to sure. that match, too. And so it kind of felt like, oh fuck, throw her in!
We'll see. And we'll see what happens with the health insurance. Like, all of it is still talk.
Yeah.
It's exciting talk,
mm-hmm. And
but it's still talk.
I think, too, the important thing to remember is, like, we don't have enough information to really make decisions about this, but the fact that they are making a cornerstone of their company announcements to say they are being inclusive means that we have to hold them to a higher standard.
Agreed.
Like, you can't just say that stuff and pull headlines and then think people won't notice, because that's what ROH has been doing for 5 years.
And frankly, it's what WWE does.
Exactly. And I think especially, too, we're going to talk about this a little more, but, like, since the Evolution pay-per-view, it's gotten slowly worse.
Yes, so much worse, actually.
So, it's so weird that
it's like actually, and they think they're being sneaky about it.
But they're
which
not.
Which is the worst part.
Yeah, it's like really bizarre that you have Raw on one side slowly, quickly sliding into this like a trash pit abyss, while Becky is like pulling fucking SmackDown on her back like, no bitch, I am the man and I am here. Like, it's so weird to see them like working against each other. Like, the brand is falling in on itself, and there's this stupid announcement about the women's tag team, which lol, have we heard a goddamn word about that since then? So like, it's so weird to see. That's,
I mean,
that's,
it was announced this week. They showed the belts, which
that's good.
Do you think they're pretty?
I haven't seen them yet.
Oh my god, Aaron,
you didn't tell me to watch.
I said watch all segments on Raw.
No, you
women.
Said...
No, do you want to look at this text message? I said watch all women segments.
You said to watch the Ronda Sasha one, and that was the one I asked you for the time for. And I asked if
I
you wanted me to
watch
anything
Alexa
past
one.
The Alexa one. Yeah, so...
But the Alexa one had the titles.
Oh, all I saw was the topless
no,
stuff.
No, because after that, she did the titles. Watch all the women segments.
I told you, I need you to give me timestamps for these. We're
but
like,
my timestamps are going to be different because I have commercials.
Yeah, but that's... You can tell me what hour they're in. If you tell me they're in hour one, hour two, hour three,
fine.
Like, that's what I was trying to ask you for. And you were like, just
well,
watch these.
You texted me in the middle of the workday and I was like, I watched this 5 days ago. I don't know.
We need to figure out like a spreadsheet system that we both
so
have
much
access
more work
to.
Do you like them?
Yeah, I do. They
God, I hate them.
You know what? I like I them.
I vehemently hate them.
They remind me of...
I mean, to be fair, the men's tag belts are shit too, but I hate them.
Yeah, I like them better than the men's belts. They remind me of the 90s. That's clearly the aesthetic they're going for, so that it looks like these belts have a more storied history that WWE hasn't written out themselves.
I just truly That's what it is. So ugly. I don't know why. I think the X is weird. I don't like the X.
I like that they're... You could show anyone those belts, and no one would know that they're women's belts. And I think that that's a step forward for WWE in a way that they've never done with literally any other belt.
I don't know. I feel like the SmackDown and the Women's
Championship. The SmackDown Women's Belt, yes, definitely. But, like, the Raw Women's Belt, like, looks like a women's belt.
Like, really? They look the same, just with one different color.
No, it's the red. And the Universal title looks like garbage, too. I'm not saying that the men's belt is exempt from looking like that. But, like, it's... I feel like they pick designs for the women's belts that are more feminine and, like, softer and littler in a way that they don't do with the men's belts. And those belts do not look like that. Those belts look like they could belong to anybody. And so I like that. I like that it's a big logo in the front.
The women's, both Raw and SmackDown women's belts and the tag belts all look pretty gender neutral to me, except for that the women's belts are smaller.
No, they have, like, additional decals on the top sides. Like, those ones are different colors. The men are all the same all the way around them. They're smaller. They're, like, they're designed to be more feminine. Like, the plate is a little smaller. The W is a little thinner. Like, they're women's belts. And I don't think that they're bad belts, but they're, like, you can look at that and look at the men's belt and be like, that's the men's belt. That's the women's belt. That's what I mean. Like, yeah,
In a company where they have a clear delineation between both, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm saying that I like that those belts don't do that. I like that those belts look very neutral.
Don't look as neutral as you're giving them credit for.
I think they look very neutral. I like that you could put
Why do they have an X on them? I don't understand the X. I think that's my biggest problem. Like, why is there an X? I don't get it. You guys don't have...
Are they for just one brand?
No, they're for all brands.
They're gonna float?
Yeah, okay. I think. At least Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Because Alexa, in her moment of bliss, announced that the belts are gonna be... One in an elimination chamber, 3 teams from SmackDown, 3 teams from Raw. Okay. Which is, I think that's an exciting way to do it.
Yeah, and it's a smart way to include the women in the elimination chamber, right. too.
That segment was weird, though, because you had that moment where she was, like, caught, like, half, like, nude or whatever, but, like, barely. Like, it was just stupid because it didn't make any sense. But then she came out. This is the thing that I didn't hear anybody talking about. So she has that moment where she's, like, being... She's in there in her dressing room, like, maybe somebody else is in there, maybe there's a different thing happening, whatever. And then she comes out, and she says something to the effect of, I have it on insider information, she has some kind of access to special information, mm-hmm. where she is getting the information about the women's tag, elimination chamber, or whatever. The thing that is weird to me is, like, you have somebody, like, showing off themselves, and then the first thing you hear is, I have it on insider information. That to me seems like I just showed somebody my tits yes. to get information. Absolutely. And I haven't heard anybody talking in that. Like, I haven't heard anybody else say that, but, like, as soon as she said that, that was like, did she just flash somebody to get, like, secret information? Like, that's weird. Is that the point? I mean,
well, because
at least there's a storyline, but also it's a shitty storyline, but also, like, what?
Well, that's the other thing is, I, like, all I've seen really is people talking about the dressing room moment, and apparently it's come out from backstage information that, like, there is no storyline purpose to that. It was literally meant just to degrade her, which is fucked up.
Which is super so fucked stupid.
Up. It's so Vince McMahon, Trish Stratus fucking Attitude Era bullshit. That's all it feels like
Except
to me.
Except for the Trish Stratus thing, you can have that argument of she was so vehemently hated because she was a bad guy up until that point when she did bark like a dog... As awful as it was, it made her sympathetic and it made her have a face turn. Like,
right.
It was fucked up and they could have had a face turn without that, obviously. But, like, there was a point to that.
Right, that's true.
There is no point to this. Yeah. And then she came out and had a very shitty interview with Paul Heyman where Paul Heyman was basically a dick to her the whole time. And then Otis...
Yeah, I didn't even know that interview section happened. No one said anything about it.
Because everybody was just talking about the thing. And then Otis came out and just, like, yelled and was like, "Rah, pretty lady, I'm Otis, I'm just weird." Which is like...
I didn't know that that's how they introduced them.
It was funny because it's Otis, right? But it also was just like everything that was happening was like a slap in the face to Alexa Bliss. And I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
Like, why? She carried that division on Raw for a long until Ronda Rousey came up. She essentially carried that division for a while.
And like it was bullshit that she held that belt for as long as she did. And barely fucking wrestled. But that's not her fault. No. Like, I don't understand, like, what happened that now they hate her? Like, I don't get it.
Or are they punishing her because they broke her brain because she got a concussion? Like, that's shitty.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. And like,
I don't know. If you let somebody wrestle Ronda Rousey, they're probably going to get a concussion.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I don't understand why, like, she was in charge of the women's division and now she needs insider information because she's showing her tits. Like, I don't, what happened? Like, I don't understand. It's so, like I said, it's so bizarre to have like really stepped back. And like, unless you tell me a segment happens, I basically don't see anything about it unless people are pissed. And
well,
so
apparently
it's,
I have to tell you literally everything that happens in a spreadsheet from now on.
You have to tell me when segments happen. How am I going to know this? I'm not on Twitter when these things happen. It's hard. But yeah, if people like aren't freaking out about it, I don't see anything about stuff anymore. And so it's weird to be like, what happened here? Like,
I don't know. Paul Heyman was so dismissive. And then their thing just gets interrupted by, so they had this tip moment. They introduce the tag belts. Paul Heyman comes out and is kind of a dick. She's inducting a shitty interview. And then Otis comes out and yells and Tucker pulls him away and everyone's like, oh, Otis. And so the only things people are talking about are Alexa showing her tits, kind of the women's belts, and how weird and funny Otis is. That's literally it. Like, they're not, like, it's
shitty too that this segment refocuses on guys. Like, why does Paul Heyman become the center of this? Why is this an introduction
for him? Also, like, Paul
Heyman
needs to be interviewed. Also, Alexa's a strong talker, but they're not giving her good material, so why would you put her up against Paul Heyman?
Yeah, and also, literally what the fuck does he have to do with fucking Alexa?
They just talked about Brock and shit.
Why?
Literally why.
What does she have anything to do with that?
It was so stupid.
She's not Baron Corbin. She's not the GM. I, like, don't...
Well, he's not the GM anymore, either. There are no more GMs. Remember?
Wait, so Paige got fired?
Oh, yes.
What?
Oh, my God. This podcast is just me telling you what happened now, which is not interesting.
Okay, so I saw
this
that...
This happened a long time ago
so
when
this
the
was,
McMahons came
we're
back.
Like, you're all in charge. I didn't realize that that meant that they took
no
that...
No more GMs.
But Paige is so good at it!
It's a big slap in the face because Paige was doing a really good job and we got to see Paige.
So what does Paige do now?
Literally nothing. I think she's gonna be on like the pre-show like panel.
Wow.
It really sucks because she was doing a really good job and we used to get to see Paige every week and now we don't see her at all. Unless you watch Total Divas, which is not on anymore because it's Total Bella time.
Yeah, it's true, it is Total Bella time. Because I told you
this week. I don't
when we were trying to
the
like,
anymore.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
When we were, I guess part of this is that I was not clear enough about like I don't see any of this, and so if you don't tell me, then I like literally don't know what's happening.
Because
so,
I like, was like, even if it's
this will
shitty,
be smoother going forward.
Even if it's shitty, I mean, we were on hiatus for a long time, and then we didn't have an episode. So even if it's shitty, I do think that.
Well, yeah,
we need
like
to watch all the women's segments, so I will tell you all the women's segments.
Yeah, that's and like I, yeah, we have not like communicated that like I'm literally not seeing any of that shit anymore because I'm just not online.
I bet everybody listening is frustrated, and these people are going to be like, "Fuck this podcast."
Whatever, they made it 15 minutes in through banter of our lives.
Well, but that's normal.
I just don't. Why? It Why are they making these choices?
Truly, it sucks. It really sucks. And then like
makes me glad I'm not watching it. Like really glad.
Yeah. Ugh, it's really, it's interesting though, because like Raw wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it was like really choppy. Like there were moments that were really good and moments that were like fucking awful. Like all the Sasha Ronda stuff is actually great.
It was actually really good. That's what I was waiting to get to too. Like I watched all of that stuff and like actually enjoyed it and like whatever, fuck Ronda in many ways. But like it's kind of nice to have taken this big step back and not seen a lot of it and come back and she's more confident.
Right.
Like
and also
it is better.
Repositioning Sasha to be the top of the division because Alexa did have the belt for a while and mm-hmm. they were trying to make boss and hug connection a thing, which is still a thing probably with the tag belts, but like repositioning Sasha as like one of the best, one of the leaders of this division, literally almost every historical match they've ever had. I said almost, so nobody like come at me, but like most of them had Charlotte and Sasha in it.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That was what that was. That was
the centerpiece of the Raw division for a long time, which could be frustrating in many ways, but right. like they also were given opportunities to wrestle and demonstrate that they can wrestle at a super high level. And then Charlotte moves over to SmackDown and right. it's like, LOL, bye, Sasha. Like, it's, and that's it's management. Sucks, right? It's shitty management.
But also, like, we've known that Four Horsemen versus Four Horsewomen, whatever, is happening, but we always assumed it would come Charlotte, Ronda.
Right.
And then we assumed Ronda, Becky. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting for it to come via Sasha, Ronda.
I also feel like Sasha is the only one who can really take a loss to her in a way that, like, won't damage her. Like, she's not gonna beat Ronda. No. It's just not gonna happen. But she can say...
But if there's a run-in or something, if
Bailey comes to save her and it's like, I want to protect Boston Hug Connection, like, that furthers that.
Or if, Shayna or something come in, like... Yeah,
or Becky shows up and beats the shit out of Ronda, like... That would be kind of nice.
I feel like Sasha really... I don't actually agree with your assessment. I don't think that Sasha can lose clean. I think that there has to be some kind of
shenanigan. I'm not saying clean. I just say, like, she can take a loss in a way that I don't think Becky could take a loss.
Something from either or both Four mm-hmm. Horsewomen factions. Mm-hmm. Also, I thought Bailey did really good in her, like, talking segment with Natty. So, like, after the thing, they had their interactions, Sasha and Ronda, and then there was, like, a, you know, Sasha walked away and was like, fuck you, I don't need to deal with your fucking yeah. bullshit. Like, I like that side. Obviously, I love, like, the boss. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that she's coming back. And she's still a face in many ways, but mm-hmm. she's just like, I'm a bitchy face, which is like...
It's like they figured out what kind of face she needs to be. Yeah.
Not in the same way that, like, Becky is an anti-hero, but, like, Sasha needs that edge. That's yeah. what makes the boss. Like,
also, that's what makes...
Can't do softcore lesbian love. Sasha needs to be angry. That's yeah. what her character is.
And also, like, Boss and Hug Connection is a stronger tag team if Bailey is the sympathetic babyface.
Good cop, bad cop.
Exactly, exactly. And Sasha's... That is the way to play her as a babyface, is as bad cop. Like, bad cop, all right, well, all cops are bad. We all know that. But, like, theoretical cops, like, even the bad cops. Yeah, even the bad cops can, like, be a good guy. It's just a tactical thing. And, like, Sasha plays that role in a way right. that it's misogyny and it's racism that they don't give her more room to flourish as she actually is. And that they're, yeah. like, fit into this white girl box. And she's like, I can't. Like, it's just... That is what has held her back, because management does not understand what her appeal is. And so they're like, but you're not that or that. And she's like, no, duh, bitch. I'm not either of those things. Yeah. So it's nice to see this, like, push from her. It was great to see that back and forth where she was like, you called me out. I didn't call you out. I don't give a fuck about you. Like, yeah, I will do great. Whatever. Like, that was excellent. Also, her hair looks fucking great. That wig was excellent. I mean, love the way
Sasha
she looks.
Sasha usually has fucking baller ass hair.
Yeah. Her wig collection is, I think, second to none, actually.
I would agree with that. Also, like, the thing with Bailey, like, I thought, you know, Bailey's not the strongest talker, and she's been royally fucked over by the yes. main roster, like, royally fucked over, uh-huh. and has never been given a chance to flourish. She had two opportunities to do something interesting, the Kendo stick match where it was just, like, a fucking embarrassment, and when they were teasing the Sasha Bailey turn, and, like...
You Ain't Shit was great. It was so great.
But, like, they fucked it up both times, right? And, like, they can have something where Bailey becomes something else in the Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen. Like, there are possibilities. And I really feel like that the wrestler should win, and, like, Sheffier or, like, and whatever the other one, the tall blonde one.
Jessam.
Yeah, Jessam. Jessam. One of them can be pinned. It doesn't yes. have to be Shayna. It doesn't have to be Ronda. Like, correct. You can have... They could tell really interesting stories with this. And it shouldn't just be, like, the... I don't know. I mean, WWE is, like, terrible. Like, I don't know why you would have the MMA people win over your...
Trained wrestlers from your performance
and your, like, top fucking stars. Like, that is insane. If they do that, that is insane. And, like, I get it if they do it for Ronda, but literally all three of the other ones can lose. Like,
yeah.
they should tell better stories. We'll see. Like, well, whatever. They'll yeah. probably make the bad choice in WWE. They're mm-hmm. terrible. but I do feel like that backstage segment where Ronda chases Sasha and Sasha's like, literally stop following me, you stupid bitch. Like, fuck you. And then, of course, Natty and Bailey are there to be like, walk away, guys. Like, it's fine. Like, walk away. And then Natty and Bailey turn to each other to have a conversation. And Natty's like, Sasha's being fucking crazy. And Bailey's like, excuse me? No. You get your shit together with your stupid friend. And they had like a good back and forth where Bailey was like, no. We're not here to talk shit about Sasha. Sasha helped to build this division. Rhonda is just here. Fuck you, Natty. Like, yeah. Bailey did a good job.
And also, that's a really good, like, sub like level fight too, where like you can bring Natty in because she has this established history with Rhonda, and Bailey has this established history with Sasha, and this can like historically one of the things that WWE gets wrong a lot is that they don't understand how to do non-title feuds. Like, yeah. Everything has to do with the fucking title. And if there's only one title, it makes it very difficult to include people. LOL. We've been saying this for literal years. Like, and so I think that this is a really smart way to take a tag team with one person going for a singles push to have the other person still involved and, like, working in that same, like, arena of people that the, like, other tag, or that the other, champion has in their orbit. Like, it makes a lot of sense. I think it's actually very smart storytelling for something for writers who normally don't do that.
Bailey also had a really good tweet. Like, I know that it's weird that we talk about tweets now, but like, this is the way that a lot of
it's canon.
Like, it's canon. So WWE NXT released some kind of video that was said, the four horsewomen of WWE NXT changed women's wrestling forever. Then Shayna quote tweeted it and said, we have never argued the fact that they made history, but the Four Horsemen weren't just four random history-making wrestlers. We are an actual team, and we had it first. And then Bailey responded to Shayna, if you're so confident in your four, then why do you feel the need to defend yourself so much? Just shut up already. And I was like, yes, Bailey. I loved that. Because Bailey's stuff is usually really positive, and I like, and that wasn't that mean, but it's like good for Bailey to be like, everybody just get over yourselves. Like, that's actually a good role for Bailey to be like, not mean like Sasha or Becky, but like to be like, literally shut up.
Yeah, like, I have given every ounce of empathy I can, and you know what? Shut up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's awesome.
Because like, that is exciting and good, but also then juxtaposed against the Alexa stuff is just like fucking weird. Mm-hmm. And like, the women on NXT are doing exciting stuff because like, I'm very hyped for Shayna versus Bianca. Like, I am very hyped for that. Mm-hmm. I am so excited about that.
It's
like,
gonna be fucking
excited. And then later on Raw, Nikki Cross wrestled. Like, that's exciting. And also showed up on SmackDown because they're doing this thing where like the call-ups are going back and forth and like whatever. It's very stupid. But it was really exciting to see Raw or Nikki Cross on Raw.
Yeah.
And I mean, she was still very new and like she, you know, Bailey still did the pin. Mm. Like, Nikki did her like purge or whatever they call it. And whatever. It was still really nice to see her. So, like, there were exciting things happening in the women's division at Raw, but then this, like, really confusing, disgusting thing that was, like...
It draws all the focus. It, like, it doesn't matter if you're doing good stuff if you have real garbage. Just,
or, like, tell a story, at least. Like, I don't know. Like, all the stuff that's happening with Naomi and Mandy is shit, but at least they're attempting to tell a story. It's, like, a bad story, but at least, like...
It's, like, the fucking Dolph-Rusev-Lana story.
It's the Dolph-Rusev-Lana story. Enzo-Lana stuff.
It's, like, the other trash bag?
It's, like, a really basic trope. It's, like, sucks, but I also... We did get to see Naomi beat the shit out of Mandy, like...
Which is awesome.
At least it wasn't as gross as the, like, Enzo stuff. Like, at least Naomi is the one kicking ass in this, and like, and Jay isn't being gross. He's basically being like, I've not asked. He's not. That's the thing, that it still really sucks, and I wish that they weren't telling the story, because Naomi deserves better, Jay deserves better, and frankly probably Mandy deserves better. But if we're gonna like silver lining any of it, he's not being gross. Jimmy, not Jay. He's not me, right? I don't know. Whichever one she's married to. They're
think.
Twins.
Actually, no. I think
literally, I don't care.
I think it might be Jay, actually.
I literally don't care. One of them. One of the Usos. The funnier of the Usos. He's not being gross, right? He didn't actually do anything to incite this. Right. Mandy's just trying to get under Naomi's skin. It's working. He told, when Mandy gave him the room key, he told Naomi, like, he's not being gross, so that's good. Mandy's making herself look like an idiot because
yeah, and it's like
it's not working. And she keeps getting punched in the face by Naomi, who keeps wearing the color yellow, and it is really doing, she looks so, I mean, she looks amazing all the time, but like, Naomi in yellow. Poof.
So good.
So good.
So good. And, like, I like, too, that it's clearly established that Mandy is the bad guy.
Right.
Like, at every single turn, it is, like, when Enzo did the gross shit with Lada, it was still like, but I'm your funny gross friend, and it's kind of okay that I'm doing this weird gross shit. But with Mandy, it's like, bitch, back off! Like, you started thirsting on Twitter, and that led to these backstage encounters, and then it leads to you being punched in the face. Like, that is a clear story. You're right. I appreciate that that at least has clarity of vision, as opposed to this, like, what the fuck is happening? You're topless. You maybe flash some... Like, it's... That is just meant to demean, whereas this is, like, we're setting up bad guys, like, and
that's
who have a line.
Again, it sucks, but at least versus the Alexa thing, there's a fucking story, at least.
And the story isn't, I want to debase this blonde woman.
Yeah.
Like, that truly is all that it
seems
to be.
The story is, I'm going
to
beat the hell out of this blonde
woman. Right. This blonde woman's acting a fool. I'm going to beat her ass.
Asking for it.
Yes, exactly.
Here's another thing that's really bothering me while we're complaining about things. So Becky comes out, delivers a great promo, and then Asuka comes out and is like, no. And then the Iconics come out and they're like, we're also here and good and stuff. And then they're like, and then they had a fun match. Like, Becky versus Peyton was a good match. I mean, Peyton got her ass kicked the whole time, but also, like...
But got some offense
got
in, too.
Offense
she, like, kicked
in,
her when,
like,
she was up on the turnstile.
My one complaint about that is I think that the... Becky Peyton one should have been a little bit shorter so that Asuka and Billy could have been longer. Like, they should have been comparable, because that, like, just made Billy look like a fool.
Yeah, but it works with Billy in a way where, like...
How dare you, Billy is my favorite.
Billy is the favorite because she is so good at the character that she plays. Yeah. And part of that character is that she has completely unearned confidence. And that's part of what I really like about it, is they're like, we are amazing wrestlers, and when we work as a team, we are unstoppable,
but
also I'm
also
an idiot.
A good wrestler.
I know, but, like, that's been her whole role on SmackDown ever since she debuted, even when she was still technically on NXT.
Right.
Like, her whole deal is that she has so much confidence, and literally without Peyton, she is garbage. Like, that works for her, and I like that. But I agree that I feel like I wish that they would have given them a little more time.
Right, a little bit more equity.
Right,
or
but also, like, Asuka.
Did look Asuka, make Asuka look great.
Which they need to make up for, because, as Becky said, she disappeared the fuck after she got beat at WrestleMania. And so, like, I get why storyline-wise they did that as well, but I agree, I wish we could see more of Billy. But
the thing that is bothering me, this thing that they're doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've only ever noticed it with the women. The women are having a segment, and then a man's music hits, and they cut their segment.
Yeah, that shit drives me fucking nuts.
I wanted Becky to just punch AJ in the throat, a la punching Billy in the throat, Peyton in the throat, which was an amazing first way to start a match. Just like straight throat punch. Like, I did not come to play.
Love, too, that Becky wrestled in street gear.
Yeah.
Like, that was excellent. That was a really nice touch.
But I feel like this music interruption is only with the women, or majority with the women, and it feels like a low-key slap in the fucking face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've ever seen a woman's music interrupt a man's segment where she was not also, where he didn't, like, stay out there, and she joined him for a segment, you know what
I
mean?
Or
where,
like, it was, like, meant to, like, make fun of The Miz or something. Like, it had, like, a purpose.
Yeah, or, like, Elias getting
just, like,
cut off. Like,
that's a purpose,
right?
That's
exactly.
A segment. This is...
We're done. We're done with your fucking segment.
I'm AJ Styles, and I'm more important than you.
Yes.
Fuck you guys. I don't care about what you guys are going to do, because I'm going to go throw hot dogs at people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I told you, too, when I didn't hear anything about SmackDown this week except for fucking hot dog talk. And it was very bizarre to be like, why is this happening? Like, what in the world is happening in the writer's room? Like, I do not understand. I thought it was an exaggeration. I did not understand that there were actual hot dogs that were involved in this. Like, it's... Why? I have so many questions. Whatever.
Mustafa Ali is doing great. Andrade is doing great. Those are exciting things about SmackDown.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, also...
The bar and Miz is a face now, kind of.
Why is... I don't understand.
I don't hate it, Aaron. You're not watching it.
No,
I don't hate
I don't,
it.
I still don't understand
Coast
why...
Coast to cake!
Why would you make... Shane McMahon's not a good guy. That's my, that will always be my complaint.
No, but like, in the grand scheme of the McMahons, he's the good one.
But he's not! But he 100%
isn't! That's, that's been his character since he's come back, is he's the good one.
And he's never been the good one! That's part of why I can't, like, understand the things that they do with him, because I'm like, literally nothing that he does suggests that he's actually a face. He's not a good guy.
Like, I feel like a lot of things that he does suggest that he's a face.
I don't think so at all. And like part of that, right, I'm not watching now and I haven't seen him since
he's come back. But even before that, I feel like, I mean, when he
his whole thing is that he attacks the people on the roster and like inserts himself into all the matches.
That's, but if you are, if that's us being like quote marks or whatever and knowing who the McMahons are, or knowing that it's fucked up that he inserts himself into things, but like, you know, him and Daniel Bryan took on Sammy and Kevin, the bad guys, and like Miz is a face now and he's there to like SmackDown Land of Opportunity. He is positioned as a face. Our outside opinion, knowing how this company works, knowing that it's fucked up that he got best in the world, I feel like he's a face.
See, I feel like
people pop for him, people love for him.
See, that's the thing,
people
is I think
people don't boo Stephanie, or people don't pop for Stephanie the same way. People boo Stephanie.
See, like, that's what I was different. Just gonna say though, that like I legit think it is just he has a penis and she has a vagina because they do almost the exact same stuff with no differentiation except I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy. She gets booed, he gets popped. But like,
she is mean to good guys, he is mean to bad guys.
He's mean to everybody. He fired Paige. Like,
no, he didn't fire Paige. That's not how they didn't fire Paige. They said, Paige, you're doing a really, really good job. You did great, but we're taking the whole company in a different direction.
But that's a shitty thing to do.
It absolutely is a shitty thing to do, but all of the McMahons did it. Shane didn't do it. All three.
He is part of that unit.
I know, but I don't. It's not the story they're telling.
I know. I understand that it's not what they're telling us we should be seeing, but it's literally not what they're doing. That's
yeah, I know,
that's
but they
why
do
it
that
blows
all
my
the
mind.
Time, right?
Yeah, I know, and that's why I'm saying, like, I don't understand how they continue to tell this story of him as a good guy when he literally does heel shit all the time. It's the same as we talk about Hogan. Like, yeah, Hogan was a good guy, but did a bunch of heel shit that made no sense.
I would agree with that. That's what I mean. But I'm saying they are writing, they want you to think that he's a face. It's not.
And I literally think it's just because the fans pop for him. If the fans booed him, they could write him exactly the same.
I feel like this Miz thing is going to turn him, though.
Into a heel?
Yeah.
Like a permanent heel?
No, I think something's going to happen. This is, like, obviously going to fall apart.
Oh, yeah, it always does. I just assume that they're going to throw Miz under the bus, because that's literally what they do.
I think they want to do something with different Miz and having him be, like, this baby. I don't know. We'll see. Who cares? I don't care. All I know is that the bar is hot, and there was cake.
I mean, I am into Cesaro and cake, so.
One thing we got totally rerouted that I wanted to talk about with AEW is this rumored rash of people asking for their release.
Yes.
Because there's the rumors that Maria and Mike asked for the release, that the Revival asked for the release. I mean, these people aren't going to ask
about
for
the Revival is
release unless they have somewhere to go. Revival totally wants to go to AEW.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they? They've been treated like garbage. Like,
and they would rule AEW.
Absolutely. I like, there is something too about like, we had this match that was garbage and we literally walked immediately backstage and we're like, let us fucking go. Like, that's rough. And also that's a risk on their part too, because if they're like, no, fuck you, also now you get to do nothing again. Like, they're absolutely running that risk. But also, like, maybe they'll wind up like Neville. If they just get sent home and don't get to do shit for a year, people are gonna flip out when they come back. And, like, it is inevitable that if they want to leave, they will leave.
Right.
Like, that's... And if AEW takes a year until they get them, like, that's a great get later.
We have
like,
to be careful. We are both slipping into AAW because we're so used to saying AAW.
AEW.
AEW.
All Elite Wrestling.
We should just
wrestling.
Say All Elite.
Yeah, I think we should too.
Because we're always going to accidentally say that.
Yes. Yeah, I think All Elite, no matter when they get them, it would be a fucking great get.
For
so,
sure.
Like, WWE is kind of fucked unless they push the Revival, which, like, best case scenario either way, really.
Really, for sure. The Maria and Mike thing is interesting. All the people, too, being like, they just came back to WWE, or they just came to WWE to get their maternity paid for and their, like, sobriety stuff paid for. And honestly, even if that is true, good for fucking them. WWE is a monstrous company, and if you can work the system, work the fucking system.
Right, and she also worked there and was treated like garbage for a long time. So
yes, we read her Playboy interview in Nashville. Yes,
we did. We absolutely did. Like, absolutely, if they can game the system, they fucking should. And also, fun fact, they didn't have to do that in order for him to get rehab, which he didn't go to. Like, he didn't go to an institution to do rehab. And it doesn't matter. If he worked for WWE for a literal day for the rest of his life, they will pay for rehab. They do that for everybody. They just paid for fucking...
It's like the one nice thing they do.
Yeah, and it's because they understand, like, they will be blamed for it if they don't cover it. And, like, it is a good thing that they do. They just paid for Adam Rose's fucking rehab. Like, he's been
Lollipop guy?
Yeah, he's been gone for a long time. And was the reason he got fired was because of a domestic abuse charge. And they still paid for his rehab. Like, that's... That's, like, a good thing that they do. So, like, who gives a fuck if they gamed the system for Mike to get fucking sober? And, like, and again, he didn't actually go to rehab, so it's... Like, if he has to go to rehab later, they'll pay for it.
Also, he shows up every week and works and, like, does whatever they want and is swole as hell.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, really, they got their fucking lives on track. Like, WWE should view them as a success story even if they do leave. Like,
also, game that system. I don't think that they did game the system, but even if they did, good for fucking them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what happened is that they got there and then he had to do a health screening and they were like, yo, what's going on here? And he was like, I'll get sober. I don't have to go to rehab. I'll just get sober. And so they allowed it. She was like, you know what? Everyone else is having a goddamn baby. I want a baby too. Like, why wouldn't you? I'm being wasted. They're not using me. I can't be used in their divisions and they're unwilling to give me stories. Fuck yeah, I'll have a baby on your dime. Like, sure. It's like Natty getting married for Total Divas. Like, why would you not game that system?
Yeah.
The women get treated like dirt. You might as well take maternity leave and have them pay for your personal trainer. Like, good for you, girl. Even if you didn't do it on purpose, good for you for having done it.
Yeah, for sure. Impact.
Impact.
Well, you actually obviously heard all of our thoughts from... So I watched the whole episode. Aaron only watched the Scarlet bit. We are not talking about the one from last night because, again, it aired at 10 p.m. last night and it is 10 a.m. right now. When would we... So per our normal shit, we're going to be 1 week behind on Impact.
Even though we've recorded fucking Saturday.
Yeah, but what are we going to do? Wake up at 8 a.m.
I know, I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I might sometimes. I mean, I guess you could come over here at 8 a.m. We watch Impact and then record, but that seems like a nightmare.
No, because we need mimosas if we're doing that and then we can't go to the gym.
I mean, if we...
Not to say I've never done that.
If we start at 8 and we drink mimosas through Impact and then we sober up during the podcast and then go to the gym, it's not a bad...
I have absolutely done stuff like that
before.
It's
not a bad way to, like, live. Like, we could try it. We could try it next week. three things that happened with the women that I want to talk about. With the men, the one thing that I really want to talk about is... this amazing backstage scene with Eddie and Eli. So Eddie is, like, being Eddie and being amazing and being wonderful and talking to Kenny. And he's, like, great and we love him. And then Eli comes in. And Eli, it was, like, an act in, like, Meisner technique. It was amazing. He goes, Eddie, let me talk to you. But like that. Because he usually is, like, let me talk to you. And is, like, big, boisterous. And he comes and is just, like, so dripping in disdain and... Like, right, he won that hardcore match against Abyss, and he comes and he's like, Eddie, are you talking to a kendo stick? Is this Kenny? What are we doing here? He's like, you really want to take up a hardcore mantle? I don't know, man. This is maybe not a great choice. And Eddie is just, like, very confused because he's insane, right? Like, he's actually a crazy person. And Eli is like, no. And it was a throwaway 3-minute segment that I loved.
That's so funny. I love Eli. So much. Eli is so good.
And he had a really baller, like, chartreuse, like, pleather jacket on.
He has been dressing lately.
Into it.
Nice.
And Eddie was being amazing, and it was just really great. Mm-hmm. The main story is, like, Cage and Johnny and Killer Cross. I'm like, whatever. I don't actually care about any of that. I like all three of them. I should like Killer Cross a lot more than I do. I acknowledge this. I was like, his aesthetic and his face, I should like him a lot more than I do, and I just don't.
Here's my deal with him.
I like him on Lucha. I like the White Rabbit.
Yeah, I do like the White Rabbit. I think that's what contributes to this. I like his character stuff. Even on Impact, I like that he has
don't you feel like you should like him more?
Well, here's why I don't think I think that I don't like him more. I could not tell you a goddamn thing about any of his wrestling. And so I feel like I don't have that piece of the puzzle. Fair. And so, like, if I saw him wrestle and was like,
because even the stuff he said on Impact has been like, meh.
Yeah, exactly.
Been like squash matches and like, it's not real wrestling yet.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he had a match with...
Even in Lucha, it doesn't feel like he's like...
He did have a match with Johnny this week. That was the main event. And it was pretty good, but like also Moose got involved and ruined it. And like, so like, it's still like...
Yeah.
Again, I've never had a moment where I've been like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrestling.
And so
that's a really good point.
I think that that's a huge part of why I'm like, yeah, I'm into you aesthetically and as a character, but like, I don't know shit about you as a wrestler, so I can't really be like invested.
Right. The Rascals had a really good match with the Lucha Brothers because like all four of, well, I mean, Trey, one of the Rascals wasn't there, but the Xavier and Wentz. That was a really good match. I think the Lucha Brothers are on their way out from Impact, which makes sense because Impact is a mess.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yes. I had to illegally watch this. Like, I have no other choice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch Twitch at 10 p.m. at night on a Friday. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Never, ever going to happen. Never, ever. And they don't save it to their Twitch.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I cannot figure out how to watch this.
I'm not going to watch it live on Twitch. That's insane.
Yeah.
They don't save it. It goes up so late on the GWN network, which I am not paying money for.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I have to watch it illegally if I want to watch it, and that's fucked up. And as, like, somebody who has committed to Impact, it feels like a fucking slap in the face.
Yeah, definitely.
The women's segments. The thing that really pissed me off... Okay, so Homecoming ends with, like, Killer Cross throwing Taya into the crowd, whatever. Mm-hmm. Taya, the new champion, is now in the hospital. Taya is this... Taya, Valkyrie, uber badass, amazing... Gets put in the hospital because she gets a move thrown on her. She's the new champion.
Yeah.
Her storyline is now completely about her husband and Killer Cross. She has the belt. Fuck that. That makes me so fucking mad. And you know what? Like, maybe that's why Johnny was like, I'm sorry that your win is now completely about me.
Yeah, you're probably right. That makes sense. Especially if that's they, like,
fucking
knew that
bullshit.
Was going to happen.
Like, you take the belt off of Tessa... Then you put Taya in the hospital, and now Tessa without the belt is still the focus of the women's division, which is great because I do love Tessa, and Tessa versus Gail is going to be great. Tessa had a squash match where she basically embarrassed a girl. Like, that's
as
what
usual,
happened.
Yeah.
And then she made this incredible face into the camera. She wins, she gets on the turnbuckle, she looks into the camera, and then her, like, She snarled into the camera, like lip quivering. And I was like, God, you're a fucking genius. And I love you so much. It was awesome. But that Taya stuff pisses me off.
I feel like the only way that you could make that acceptable is, and I do not say this about like basically anything else, but if you recreate the old Attitude Era segment where Steve Austin cracks Vince McMahon in the head with a bedpan, like if you had Tessa do that to Taya, this feels appropriate. But like basically other than that,
or
why are we doing this?
Tessa comes back and kills Killer Cross.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that can happen. Taya comes back and kills Killer Cross. Like, Taya is an intergender wrestler. Let her murder him. Like,
yeah.
I hate that the focus of this story is now.
Yeah.
So move Johnny onto Cage and then have Taya come back and put Taya in a feud with Killer Cross. Fine.
Yeah, I'm into that. I love that, actually.
Yeah, do something interesting. Don't dismiss Taya's... It pisses me off so much.
That's,
I was so angry about that. There was a good segment.
And it's the first show on Pursuit, too. So, like... If you are watching it on this channel, your first introduction to this women's champion is that she's in the hospital and her storyline is about her husband. Ugh, that is bullshit.
There was a backstage like segment where like Allie and Sue were over a coffin and Sue was making faces and Allie was like, she lost her bunny, and then like magic, and then Rosemary wrote on the coffin. And honestly, the shot was confusing, and I couldn't actually read what she wrote, but something was probably like, hey, I'm coming for you, stop being an idiot.
Yeah.
I assume that's what that means. So we did get that segment. The women's segment that we have to talk about, obviously, because everybody's talking about it,
yes,
even if it's a week late, is Scarlett.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I made you watch this.
You did make me watch it.
Obviously. Because you were like, I can't figure out Impact, but I was like, you have to watch it illegally. It's the only way you can watch it.
Yes, I was unaware that I had to do this illegally, so now I know, and I can do that going forward.
Erin, in theory, will be better at her job next week.
I mean, again, I blame Joey Ryan. Basically, since All In, this show has just been a disaster. Whatever, it's fine. Yes, okay. So...
It's being touted as Scarlett gives Scott Steiner a lap dance.
Yeah, and it's not.
It's not that.
It's not. And also, Okay, so the segment is that Charlotte comes out, or Charlotte, not Charlotte, not her name, Scarlett comes out, and is like...
Pause. In a terrible wig.
Oh,
it's clearly like a hair fall, right? So she has platinum blonde hair, and they wanted her to have big, sexy, crazy hair. And they put a fall on. So you can see the clear delineation of her hair and the, like,
yeah,
wig.
Yeah, it's super
right?
obvious.
And the wig is not brushed!
And I couldn't tell if it was a choice that they wanted it to make her look like she'd just been fucked, but,
well,
like...
Well, it made it look like she was wearing a cheap wig.
It's yeah, exactly! It, like, does not
and
translate.
And also, weirdly, because even though they were both platinum blonde...
They're different colors!
And it made her almost look like she was going bald.
Yeah, it was weird! It was super weird!
Weird! And it drove me nuts!
And, like...
Brush your wigs!
And it was weird to see that, like, like, the robe she's wearing is nice, but it's so... The whole look is overwhelming.
The whole look is... 10 years ago, I just started doing burlesque, so I'm gonna go buy everything from Leg Avenue.
Yes! It's like... Okay, it's not Fredericks of Hollywood, but it's a...
It's not even nice lingerie.
Yeah, it... yes. She did not have a large budget, is what it feels like.
Which made it all, like, between the hair and the costume, that all, that stuff felt, like, really cheap. And I feel like if she is this, like, powerful, like, sex machine or whatever, like, she should have nicer lingerie.
Yeah, and also,
and historically,
like,
has had nicer lingerie.
Yeah, and also, like, her stilettos... All power to her for being able to fucking do literally anything in those shoes. But
it's
also,
hard to walk in a wrestling ring with heels on.
I know. I'm like, I watched her do a fucking...
I've done it. It's hard.
I've seen her do a moonsault in those. Like, I know she can fucking move in them, and it's impressive. But also, like, why didn't they match her lingerie? Yeah. I don't...
They matched her necklace. But then it was a whole... The whole look was a mess, which was upsetting because I feel like she should have her sex gear in order.
Yeah, exactly! And it was weird, too, because, like... The stuff she's wearing underneath of it, when we get the reveal several minutes into this segment that of what she's wearing, it's more than she wears to wrestle. Like, it's...
And it's not a... It's not... She takes a robe off. It's not really a strip.
No! She just, like, opens her robe and sort of flashes him, but, like, she's not naked. It's weird.
And she doesn't give him a lap dance. She touches him on the shoulder and walks away.
Yeah,
and my, I mean, obviously...
This person who clearly is pushing it this way has never had a lap dance, I'm gonna guess.
Aesthetically, too, like, if they
were given...
just took a dance class. She...
Yes.
I don't understand this thing where these women are so hot and, like, can't move their bodies.
It's because they've gotten away with being hot. They think I can take
so
a photo
hot.
And I look beautiful.
And her butt is... incredible.
It really is top tier.
But, like, whatever she was doing in the dance part was not...
She, like, put her butt on the ring in,
like,
a way that, like, wasn't sexy. It was,
it, like,
so
was
weird.
Not exciting or sexy, except for the fact that she's crazy hot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, that's all the aesthetic choices that were, like, irksome to me because, like, as, like, somebody who appreciates when people strip... And when they have nice bodies, like, I was just like, I don't, if we're going to do this, I feel like we should do it right, right? Like that is upsetting. And I don't like the branding of it being a lap dance because it wasn't. And it just, like, it was just like, we want you to click this link and we want people to be offended. But, like, actually nothing happened.
Yeah. You could just market that as Scott Steiner returns for Striptease by Scarlett Bordeaux. Which is basically what it was. And that still would have gotten those same, like, ooh, I'm horny, I'm gonna click this. It's not a lap dance! It's like, it's such a weird choice to push it as that.
I just have this thing with Scarlett where, like, I do still kind of think she's a genius. And I do kind of still think that this, like, this hasn't gone off the rails for me yet in a way that it has for everybody else. I think this segment, even if Aaron thinks this was unintentional, which, like, it could have been unintentional, but again, like, Jamie Jacobs, Gail Kim, I also think Scarlett might be a genius, so, like, I don't know. This segment was, like, low-key empowering.
Yes, it's so weird, and, like...
Because, for those of you who haven't watched it, okay, so not only, like, the strip was disappointing, but again, she was, like, in a bra and panties, and, like, not even a thong, just, like, full panties.
Yeah!
I don't understand. She comes out and is, like... I want to celebrate our thing about pursuit, blah, 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 with, like, a little strip show for you guys. You guys all want that? Yeah, I'm hot. Woo! And everyone's like, yes! and then she gets interrupted by Gama Singh and the Desi Hit Squad, And they have this conversation where he's like, don't degrade yourself. Don't debase yourself. When you announce us as the winners for the talent show, do it for us. Use your body for us. Make this about us. Don't degrade yourself for these Americans. Blah, 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 blah. And he degrades her, desexualizes her, tries to make her sexuality about him.
Yeah.
And it was gross. That part, that was the grossest part. But Scarlett the whole time was like, this is dumb. You're dumb. Also, Scarlett is always the one making the choices about her sexuality. I don't know. Like, Alexa, the camera coming in on Alexa with her, like, hands over her boobs is a violation, right? That is the camera coming in and violating her. Everything that Scarlett does has a level of agency because Scarlett wants... Scarlett, the person, I'm 99% sure, and Scarlett, the wrestler... wants that sexuality, is making that choice, is pushing back against the evolution era. All of her sexuality has an agency to it that I feel like when we have these conversations, we dismiss that. And it's actually a huge problem because we say we want women to like have their sexuality and own their sexuality and stuff. But then we get mad because we have this history and experience where like women are overtly and grossly sexualized in wrestling. But everything I've ever seen Scarlett do, and I've seen a lot of Scarlett, remember, she is a local talent to us, has this, like, really hardcore level of agency. And you can hate her for the way she uses her sexuality or how she does it, but she makes those choices, right? Mm. And so Gama Singh comes out and tries to degrade her, and she's like, I don't think so. Like, she's not a good actor, really, so, like, her faces are ridiculous when she does it, but she's still doing it. And then Scott Steiner comes out and makes, like, a weird comment about, like, how he was hunting two-legged deer, which essentially means that he was just, like...
he pulled his groin
having sex with, like, ladies, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever. Scott Steiner...
in Detroit.
In Detroit. He loves to fuck women in Detroit, which, like, hey, you know what? Like, Detroit's an up-and-coming city. I guess go to your strip clubs in Detroit.
Yeah.
Support the economy of Detroit. But he comes out and delivers a speech that is actually... pretty progressive.
Yeah, it's weird.
It comes out and it says, hey, men who are degrading this woman, she said she wanted to come out and do this. She wants to do this. And me, I support when freaks, because he calls everybody freaks, I support when freaks do what they want to do. I support when freaks get freaky, which is what he said. Mm-hmm. And then she says, and then they fuck off. He, like, you know, does, he Gama Singh has a heart attack or something. And
yeah, it's very weird.
And then he, like, wrestles the other guy, so the Desi Hit Squad goes away. And then Scarlett picks up the microphone and says, hey, Scott, I came out here because I wanted to do this dance for these people, but also, like, do you want me to do it for you? She makes the choice. Yeah. He not one moment was like, hey, pretty lady, fucking get on my dick.
Yeah.
He came out here and basically was like, let this woman do whatever the fuck she wants. Fuck you guys. And then she was like, what I want to do is strip for these people and give you a not lap dance.
Yes.
And then she doesn't do anything to him, walks away, which also, like, maybe she was supposed to give him a lap dance and she decided not to because she walks over to him and then just touches him on the shoulder and walks away.
Yeah.
Which also, like, who knows what she was supposed to do, but, like, it really felt like Scarlett did whatever she wanted and left, which was not great, but, like, whatever. And then he was like, everybody, give it up for Scarlett. Scarlett's great.
Yeah. Like,
it was, like, this weird, not progressive segment.
Yeah.
And it is really, like, distorting my brain.
It's really bizarre, too, because, like, we watched the Impact presented version of it.
So I watched the whole one, and then... Aaron watched the one on YouTube where they cut out all the Gama Singh stuff where
exactly.
He was degrading her.
Which totally changes the tone of this segment. And so it was really weird. Like, Stella was like, wait a minute. There's way more information that you need about this. And like, even without that, it does feel like she has this agency. And I like that, like we said before, I like that she does what she was gonna do anyway. He just happens to be seated in a chair behind her and like... that is her choice that she made. And I like that a lot. So even without that, like, extra context. But with that extra context, it feels especially like it's her having her own agency. It's bizarre.
I literally do not know what to do with my feelings about Scarlett. And it is driving me insane. I truly don't. Because I hear these people having... and honestly, like, I know a lot of the people having conversations about this do not watch Impact. So it's like, I actually don't care about your opinions. Because I do watch Impact on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. I am truly and deeply confused about everything that Scarlett is doing. And I think part of it is that I really want something different from this. So right. I'm giving it like a lot of wiggle room. Yeah. But also if you actually listen and you actually watch, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. And it's weird too that they would write their own narrative to have it be less progressive, which is what made me think it was not intentional. But, like, if Scarlett is gaming the system and doing whatever the fuck she wants, like, good for her. Like, that's good, too. Like, Maria can game the system to have a baby, or not. Or Scarlett can game the system to be sexy and not do a lap dance. Like, or whatever. Like, I like that there's a lot of different choice among women among the many companies right now.
Right.
Like, that actually is progressive. Even if it's not intentional, it's a really good sign that companies with national visibility are like, all right, you're going to drag us backwards, kicking and screaming, but I guess we're here now.
Yeah, I truly don't know what to make about Scarlett. And she was supposed to announce her talent thing last night, so maybe it, like, maybe this is all passé and maybe it becomes awful last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but in the context of just that segment, I am confused.
Yeah, I agree. It was very confusing.
I am so confused. I don't know what I'm supposed to think. I don't know even what I think. Like, I don't know. It is confusing to me. We do have a listener question that like kind of relates to this. So this is from our friend Joe. Since we all agree that Scarlett Bordeaux's succubus sex magic should work on all, what wrestler would you pick to be the incubus male version of her? Mm-hmm. So who would be sexy? Incubus is just like a male succubus.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you know this, but maybe other people don't.
Okay. Fair, fair, fair. Oh, it's because you looked me directly in my eyes when you said it.
Because we're a team.
Like, of people who are currently wrestling, I feel like the super obvious answer to this is Joey Ryan. Like, duh.
Okay, but, like, Joey Ryan already has his, like, own kind of, like, sex magic. So, like, let's, like...
Outside of people who already use sex magic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who purposefully use sex magic.
Can we please start referring to the dog flip as sex magic now?
The what?
The dong flip.
Yes. I mean, it is sex magic.
It is sex magic. I agree. I think that's a way more apt term for it. Joy Ryan is a sex wizard.
Oh my God.
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like fucking... He wears a white leather jacket in NXT. Kona, he's
ew,
like, I'm very...
Gross.
Well, that's what makes me think is that he has that, like, I have this ew energy, but I don't personally like it, but I can see how he could be transitioned into a character like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it would be equally confusing to Scarlett, where I'm like, is this good? I don't understand.
Sex magic. I mean, if you could repackage Ty Dillinger to be a sex, like, ooh, a sex incubus, that could be interesting.
I also feel like the other obvious answer is Velveteen Dream, who is sort of a...
I mean, he's kind of an incubus.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, like, he already fits into that role, and he's better at it, so I like that.
Because, I mean, Prince probably was an incubus.
Oh, for sure was. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. Mostly I'm confused.
Yeah, that's... fucking weird.
I do really believe it comes from a place that I want something different from Scarlett.
Yeah.
But also, if you listen to the things that are actually happening, it's confusing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's bizarre.
Also because I know that Scarlett cares about wrestling and can wrestle pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And like she has invested a lot of time and effort into it other than just like, it's not like... Like, when the Bellas first started wrestling, right, they just did it because they were hot and wanted to make money. And then they eventually learned to love wrestling and then became better wrestlers.
Right.
From the beginning, it really seems like Scarlett has wanted to be a wrestler and is just using the fact that she's super hot to her advantage.
Right, which yeah. Again, agency.
Game like, the system.
Yeah, exactly.
But she also went to Japan and did, like... training and also can do a moonsault and heels.
Which is fucking incredible. Like, I will never get over how cool that was.
Oh, Scarlett is tearing my brain apart. Oh. Oh my God.
Oh.
We have to end because now I'm stressed.
All right. Well, I put out a tweet for the Demis that we had some responses to.
Oh, okay.
I thought of it. Don't worry. All right, so I posted, good morning, we're starting our new Not Your Demo Pod recording schedule for the next few months, so we're up bright and early to bring you the good hashtag content. Questions, comments, compliments, now is the time, with this gif of John Cena, obviously. We got a couple of compliments, honestly, which was kind of nice. A lot of
until they listened to this episode and they were like, why
what
does this
happened? Aaron, get it together. Never. That is my vow to you. So we got an I Love the Show from Nintendo64, which is a great name. Megan wrote, compliment, you guys are the best. I've missed you invading my ears while I sit at work. I appreciate it. Right this way, Robbie told us to treat ourselves with mimosas. Fair.
We did not. Well, you're drinking a hard cider, and yeah. I had a lot of coffee.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then we're going to go to the gym! we got a funny reply from longtime listener George. I have a question that's more of a comment. A comment that you'll quickly realize is a compliment, and a compliment that's more of a question. Which I appreciated. Yep. More compliments. Good job, everyone. We did actually get some questions. I just feel happy that people were like, you guys are great! It's 10 a.m. on a Saturday!
We're not great.
It's all right. All right, Henry T. Casey. Am I wrong, or is Dolph Ziggler, AEW or not, All Elite or not, the wrestler who most needs to leave WWE for all parties involved? And I think I would agree with that. I was talking about this on Twitter the other day. Apparently, all of my banger tweets are about how Dolph Ziggler is a bitch who needs to leave WWE. Because people were all about me calling him a straw wig. Like, but he threatens to leave every other fucking day, it feels like. And I'm tired of it. Like,
I'm tired of it.
Like, regardless of whether I like him or not, like, it is just insane that he keeps doing this back and forth dance. Like, go pursue your comedy career. Or go to AEW and make your money there and then wash out. Like, it, you don't need to do this back and forth anymore. And it isn't endearing and it blows. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear about him anymore.
I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of it. Oh, we got two questions from Ben as well.
Ugh.
Terrible. You're terrible.
Well, he's my friend. I can shit on him.
He originally asked a question about what item in your life that sparks joy would you use against Marie Kondo in a death match?
Literally such a scam. I hate Marie Kondo. I hate the whole idea.
Really?
I fucking think she's a monstrous scam artist.
Really? I like the system that she uses. I mean, I've been familiar with her book since it came out, like, many years ago. So this is already, like, a system that I use in my life. I don't talk about it on Twitter.
Do you? Because your house does not look like you use this system.
See, that's the thing, is everybody thinks that she tells you to get rid of your shit. That's not actually what it is. I go through all of my stuff every...
touch it.
I go through and I, like, pick up the things and I organize them and I say, do I use this? Do I like this thing? Does it bring me sentimental joy? And if it's clothing... Have I worn it in the last year? Do I like the way my body looks in it? And I go through all of my shit and do this.
Yes.
I just like my things.
How is that a thing that... She literally took a very obvious thing and turned her career into it.
Well, she's the one who wrote the book on it. And, like, that, I think, is part of why it's like this.
It's common sense.
Oh, it's
look at something and be like, do I use this? Do I like it? No?
You would be
goodbye.
Shocked how many people have never done that. And like, I like her show. I like the way that she organizes things. I think the space saver way that she does stuff is really interesting. It like doesn't always work for me, but I like the idea of it. And I also like love reality television where people have their lives fixed. Like, I'm into that. But if I could use anything that sparks joy in my life, I would absolutely hit her with that grape lamp that I have in my living room that my husband wants to get rid of.
That is broken.
It is not broken. I just can't hang it because my ceilings aren't strong enough to support it.
So stupid.
It's lovely. It's fantastic. My grandmother made it from hand.
She did?
Yes, that's why I love it. It's a glass Grace like sculpture that has a light bulb inserted into it that she made from hand. That's why I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I don't think you should get rid of it. I like it.
I love it. And it has a long chain. It would be great to use in a death match. You could swing it around. It'd be awesome. Then it would be broken.
I don't know. Do things spark joy?
I don't know. Do your things spark joy? I feel like they do. Like, you've gone through and downgraded from your books.
Yeah, I downgrade, like, every, like, couple months.
Yeah, and, like, that's part of that system is, like, do I actually use this shit?
I don't know. I think I probably beat her to death with my first folio.
Ooh, that's a good one. It's hefty.
Huge.
It is huge. And it sparks joy in your life.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Because I'm a pretentious bitch who owns a First Folio.
I mean, so do I. I can't speak one way or another about that. Ben's second question. Speaking of things that bother us, does it bother you guys that WWE has essentially erased the histories of the Cruiserweight and Women's Tag Titles by using language like first ever when referring to the modern versions? And
yes, yes, we already talked about that.
It drives me fucking nuts. It drives me nuts. It's, I haven't really thought about it with the Cruiserweights, but with the women, we've talked about it a lot. But like, it is really shitty that they do that to the Cruiserweights. It was a whole fucking division that Rey Mysterio like dragged out of WWE creative and like made it his own and used it to transition into a bigger star. Like, it is bananas that we just pretend that that never happened. Like, I don't understand why. It's very bizarre to me that Vince wants to be a company with a long history and a long story, but anything that speaks to that history, he's like, stop using numbers at WrestleMania. It makes it feel old. Don't talk about the women's divisions before we fucked it up. Don't talk about the Cruiserweights with people who are no longer here. Like, it's so strange that he wants people to remember, like, Hulk Hogan existed and fucking Macho Man Randy Savage worked here for a little bit, but let's never talk about the stuff from later and how Miss Elizabeth fucking died because of this dude that I pushed because I'm fucking sexually attracted to him. Like, it's just bizarre that he wants us to remember that they have a history, but like, is like, but actually with those details, maybe we should just like not, maybe we should just like push it aside a little bit. And I wonder if that will continue to happen once Triple H fully is in charge. Like, that's a decision that comes down to Vince at this point. Like, he is the one that decides, now we ain't gonna talk about that. And a lot of people put stock in Triple H in a way that I think is ridiculous. Like, he is not the savior. He is not gonna fix everything. Like, he already basically operates this company. He just doesn't have final say in shit yet. And so it will be interesting to see if he brings the numbers back and starts talking about, like, the past for these things and just is smarter about the way that he tells that story. I think Vince is so stupid sometimes that he literally can't figure out, I can tell part of this story without being an idiot about it. And it's just like, never mind. We just won't. And, like, when he does return to history, a lot of times the stuff that he picks to talk about is terrible and reminds you of the worst shit. So I feel like that's a big part of it as well. So maybe in the future Triple H will be like, hey, we had this Cruiserweight division, remember when we did this like 15 years ago and it was fucking dope? We should talk about that. So yes is the answer.
I feel like this is a good time to talk about TJP's tattoo.
Oh my god. wow, it's so bad. It is so, how old is he? Like,
I don't know, you keep talking, I'll look it up.
He looks like a 19-year-old who can only afford $40 tattoos at a time and has done this over several months. That's fucking what it looks like. Like, what is this hodgepodge of designs?
And they're pretty new.
Yeah, it is. It, like, this happened quickly. He doesn't wear sleeves when 34. He wrestles. He's 34. Oh, no. Oh, no. You have too much money to have a tattoo that's worse than an MMA sleeve. Like, I don't understand. Also, do you think, he has the anchor, which makes me think that he does understand that they're nautical stars, but I kind of feel like he doesn't understand that those are nautical stars, because they run up to the throwing star, and it's like, do you think these are throwing stars? Also, why is there a palm tree in here for some reason? It's very bad. It, like, fill it. Fill stuff inside of it.
Maybe it is gonna fill it.
I fucking hope so.
Because it's pretty new.
It's so bad. It's worse than Braun Strowman's tiny S. Like, it is so bad.
Ugh. Because, like, yeah, it's really new.
It's terrible. Yeah, because, like, all of the ink is fresh, and it looks like...
Because, like...
Maybe it'll look better when it's faded, honestly. Like, some tattoos really do look better once they've, like, settled into your skin. But also, like, it's trash. It is trash. It looks like he stuck his arm into a trash can, and when he pulled it out, he had this sleeve.
I feel like it's probably step one in, like...
I really hope so. Is it a nautical sleeve? Like, what? Why is there a palm tree? Why does he have this giant throwing star on his hand now? Like, I don't get it. I like hand tattoos. I think they're really cool.
It's not a throwing star on his hand.
It's, what is it?
I think it's a Filipino, like...
Oh, is flag. It the Filipino sun?
Yeah,
That is. Makes more sense. Okay. That makes
because
more sense with the...
black, it looks weird. It doesn't look weird. Like, if you actually look at it, it does look like the Filipino sun.
Right. And, like, that makes more sense, too, with the nautical stars and the anchor and the palm trees
and
that it's Filipino.
I think it's the beginning of a sleeve that looks really shitty right now.
Okay. That makes way more sense. If this is a Filipino sleeve that he's building on, I'm all for that. I think that's fucking great.
I think that's what it is. I think we're judging it too harshly right now.
I feel like, why did you not wear sleeves on camera if you're not done with your
tattoo? Because I don't, I mean, I don't wear sleeves and I'm not done with, or, and I'm not done with my sleeves, so it looks very PC.
Yeah, but yours doesn't look like trash.
Well, that's just an aesthetic choice.
But when your aesthetics don't look good uncompleted.
But maybe he likes it. I don't know. I've come around. I've come around in this conversation. I've come around and now I'm defending TJP's tattoo choices.
I will only defend them if it comes out as a cohesive piece. Because otherwise it still looks like...
You have really PC tattoos.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that. And like, my
maybe this is why. Maybe you like look at it and you're mad because it reminds you of yourself.
Well, yeah, because I'm like...
This is why. This is what we've learned is now you're like, you're...
And I have sleeves on. Hello.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I support TJP and his aesthetic choices. There are worse tattoos.
There are worse tattoos, but this
Jericho
right now...
Jericho has the worst tattoo.
I don't know. Randy Orton might have the worst
tattoo. Oh, yeah, that's true. They're you know whose tattoo is terrible that I love? Big Show.
Yeah.
I love his weird bear. I don't know. I like it.
It's pretty good. I also love Kevin Owens' weird Taurus bull tattoo.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck it.
Yeah, like,
that's... Everybody... Tattoos are so varied that, like...
I feel like part of it is that photo, too, of the way that he's presenting it, where he also looks offended by his own tattoos. Like, when you see it in motion, it's not quite as offensive, but that particular photo is like, this
I've
is
come
trash.
Around. You know what? I think whatever he wants to do.
I'm not saying he can't get them. I'm just saying he looks like a 19-year-old Filipino child who was like, I can only afford $40 tattoos at a time. That's the... Just because there's a theme doesn't mean it looks better.
I don't know. I think the Filipino sun on his hand looks good. I don't personally love nautical stars, so I don't think they look good, but
yeah,
whatever. It's his life. And now we've moved on where you hated and I've moved on. I guess we should go to the gym.
It's time to go to the gym.
I don't think we said anything particularly offensive except for the fact that you thought the Filipino sun was a throwing star, which I feel like was kind of offensive.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I also, again, only saw this in a still where he looked offended. And it, again, does make it look more cohesive to realize, oh, that is a sun and not like a weird throwing star. Like, yeah, that definitely helps.
Anyways, Aaron is racist and I'm great.
Fair. That's true. That is my brand, that I am a very racist person.
You're wrong and you're racist. Call back. Whatever. Let's go to the gym. You can find us on the internet. I'm at @Sel_Cheeks.
I'm at @Urgency.
You can interact with us using the hashtag NotYourDemoPod. Also, it's 31 Days of Wrestling merch. Hashtag 31 Days of Wrestling merch. She's wearing Delilah Doom. I will be wearing something to the gym. Yep. I'm currently in my pajamas still.
We did skip our regular segment of, what shirt are you wearing? Yes. Because we literally are documenting that.
Also because I'm in my pajamas right now. You can email us.
At notyourdemo@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe. I haven't read any reviews because iTunes algorithm messed it up, but I still appreciate them if and when you do them. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You don't even have to write a review. Just leave us some stars. We're happy about that,
Some stars.
Some stars.
whatamaneuver.com for .net for whatamaneuver.net for our merch, Patreon. We're doing Every Mania Ever tomorrow, so that'll go up later this week. That's it, I think. I really fizzled out. The Scarlet stuff took a lot out of me.
Yeah, we really burned hard and went out fast.
It really, like, took a lot out of me. I'm very confused.
Happy Saturday morning, everybody.
Reload!